But we are the Smith family. We are Preston and Abby Smith. It looks like Abby on the prayer card. I have to go over this just because her name is Abby. It's just like ABCD. And you'd think that'd be fairly easy, but it looks like Abby on the prayer card. And if people don't know, they think I'm congested and I'm saying Amy funny, you know, Abby. And we actually had her introduce herself to one pastor, and he's like, hello. And she goes, hello, I'm Amy. Abby, I'm sorry. She says, hello, I'm Abby. And he goes, oh, it sounds like Amy has a cold. And so I just go over and explain how to say her name. It's Abby. And now if you mispronounce it, it's your fault, not mine. But we'll just get that out of the way right off the bat. But we are going to Japan. I was raised in Japan. My parents went to Japan when I was 5 years old. And so I grew up over there. It's like home to me. I enjoyed it. I know Japan better than I know America just from growing up there. Came back to the States when I was 19 years old and had a whopping culture shock. I didn't know about America. I grew up in Japan. We came back twice when I was growing up, once when I was 9 and once when I was 16. And we were traveling all the time, traveling to churches, reporting back, saying what the Lord's been doing in Japan. And then we'd go back to Japan. So we're just, these little travels were so fast, I didn't really grasp a lot of the differences in culture, especially not as a 9-year-old. And when I was 16, we were only in the States for about 7 months. So I really knew very little about America. So I came back to the States when I was 19, and man, I was not, it's different here. Did you know that? It's not the same as Japan. So I had culture shock pretty bad, and the Lord helped me through that. And then after I'd been in the States for a few years, the Lord used my parents. They came back to the States on furlough, and they showed their presentation, much like the one I'm going to show tonight. And they showed it, and I have seen my parents' presentation a lot from growing up. When I was 9, when I was 16, my dad would go to churches. I would travel with him. He would show his presentation sometimes every service. You know, Sunday morning at one church, Sunday night at another church, Wednesday night at a different church. And so it was at the point where I could almost watch my dad's presentation and give it for him, you know, just from knowing it, the familiarity there. And so I wasn't expecting anything to happen from it, but the Lord used my parents' presentation in my life and placed a burden in my heart for the country of Japan. I went back to my home where I was staying, and I prayed and I said, Lord, I'd like you to show me from your word if you want me to go to Japan. And he gave me passage after passage that just answered questions I had as to whether or not he was calling me to go back to Japan. And so he gave me peace that his will was for me to go back to Japan. And I thanked him for that. And then since that time, he's given me a wife that isn't opposed to going to Japan, which is a blessing. And so we're excited about going. Her family is excited about us going. And so we've been on deputation now for just over a year, and we're excited to see what the Lord's doing. And I'll give more about our ministry and what we're planning on doing over there tonight. But that's who we are, and we've been traveling all around. Came in yesterday from New York State, and we're excited to be here with you today. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. I believe that the Lord is looking for missionaries, and you say, uh-oh, here comes the recruitment speech. No, I'm not up here. I'm not going to say, you know what? God is calling you to Japan. There is definitely a need for missionaries in Japan, but that is true of any country in the world, I believe. So it's not my job to get up here and tell you, God's calling you to Japan. That's not my job at all. I do, however, believe that we are all called to be missionaries. If you look at the word missionary, it means a sent one. And if we look in Matthew chapter 28, where the Lord gives the Great Commission, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And there are people around us, no matter where we may be, whether it be here in Ohio, whether it be across the ocean somewhere in a foreign country, there are people around us that need the gospel. And so in that sense, each and every one of us are sent of the Lord to the people around us that need the gospel. So it doesn't apply just to people like myself that are going to a foreign country. Each and every one of us have a responsibility to reach out to the people around us. And so in that sense, I say we are all to be missionaries in the sense that we are reaching out to the world around us. So if you look at it that way, I believe each and every one of us is a missionary. And a missionary, I believe, needs three things. And that is a mission, a message, and a motive. And I want to look at those three things today in the life of two men in the Bible. First, the prophet Jonah. And then we'll compare him to the apostle Paul. We'll look at these two men and we'll compare them. And then after we've looked at those two men, we'll look at our lives and just see what we can gather from that this morning and see what our mission is, our message, and our motive. So if we'll look this morning in Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1, it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Your goodness to us, Lord, we know your mercies are new every morning, and Lord, we know we do not deserve the goodness you've given us and the blessings you've placed in our lives, and we thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to meet here in a country where we're free to worship and without fear of persecution. And please bless this time this morning, Lord. Work in the service up here and the junior church service as well. And please guide my words. Help me to be an encouragement and a blessing and as well as a challenge here this morning. And Lord, if there be anyone here today that does not know for sure that they would go to heaven were something to happen to them today, that they don't have peace, that Jesus Christ is their Savior, Lord, please help them to get that settled today. Please bless this time now and guide it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As we look here, we see the mission that was given to the prophet Jonah. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah, and in verse 2 it says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." So we see here Jonah's mission. His mission is to go to Nineveh and preach against it because of their wickedness. Now, it's not a terribly complicated mission. It's not really, really deep or hard to understand. It's fairly straightforward. Go and preach to Nineveh. But as we look through the story of the prophet Jonah and we read the book, we see that Jonah heads the exact opposite direction. God tells him to go to Nineveh, which is inland. He heads out to sea. He gets in a boat and he heads out to sea. He goes as far away from what God had for him as he possibly could. He heads away. And as he's heading away, the Lord prepares a storm. And the storm comes, and the sailors that are there, they're not Christian men or saved as the servants of God, as we'd say back in the Old Testament. And so they say, "Someone's angered the gods." They didn't know. They said, "Someone's angered the gods. I wonder who it might be." And Jonah says, "You know, I serve the God that created heaven and earth, and it's my fault. And I'm the one because I'm not doing what God had for me." But then he says a strange thing. He says, "Throw me overboard." And this is not what I would have said. But in my mind, it just clearly indicates that Jonah really did not want to go to the people of Nineveh. He really did not want to go, so he says, "Throw me overboard." He figures, "I'll just die and that'll be the end of it." But God knew better, and so as Jonah was thrown overboard, God had prepared a great fish. If we read through, God had prepared a great whale, and the whale swallowed up Jonah. Storm stopped for the sailors. They probably just went on and never thought about Jonah again. But Jonah wasn't done yet. And the Lord had a great fish that swallowed Jonah, as we read in chapter 2. Jonah prayed to God and said, "I'll go." And the Lord had the fish deposit Jonah back on dry land at the end of chapter 2. And God, at the beginning of chapter 3, God reiterates the mission to Jonah. He gives it to Jonah again. So if you'll turn with me to chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3 says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying," the Lord's going to give him his mission again, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So God gives him his mission again. Your mission is to go into the city and preach to it the preaching that I told you to go preach. So that was Jonah's mission. Simple mission, go and preach. So what was Jonah's message? As we continue in verse 3, it says, "So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" So there we see Jonah's message. It's a simple message. He has a simple mission, go and preach. His message is simple, 40 days and the city will be overthrown. And we see from chapter 1 again that it's because of the city's wickedness. So we see his message is that because of the city's wickedness, in 40 days, God is going to judge that city. Now as we see the rest of this chapter and we follow through the rest of the book, we see that the city turned to God in an amazing way. The people of Nineveh turned from their sin, they turned to God and they repented of their sin. And God looked down and he said, "I'm not going to punish them for what they've done. They've turned to me. I'm going to spare them." And Jonah has basically a little hissy fit. He has an anger problem. And he goes and he sits up on the hill and he's angry at God. He says, "Look, I knew if they turned to you, you'd spare them. And I knew this was going to happen. So I didn't want to go to them in the first place." And you say, this doesn't make any sense. If you imagine if you had your missionary prayer letters and you're reading your missionary prayer letters and you get one that says, "Well, I had a pretty rough week. I went out and I preached in the park and 3,000 people got saved. And I'm really angry about that." You say, what in the world is wrong with this guy? I mean, it doesn't add up at all. And it doesn't make sense. Why would a prophet of God that was sent to a people to preach to them about their wickedness, once he sees those people turn to God, why would he be angry about that? We ask ourselves this question. I believe it comes down to Jonah's motive. We saw his mission, we see his message, but when it comes down to Jonah's motive, what was his motive for going to the people of Nineveh? And as we look through the book of Jonah, we look through the story, we see that his motivation for going was never because of a care for the people. He did not want to see the people of Nineveh turn to God. He wanted them destroyed. He hated the people of Nineveh. So he didn't go to the people of Nineveh out of any love for those people. He went to the people of Nineveh out of a desire to keep from getting in any more trouble than he had already gotten into. It was a selfish desire. The reason Jonah went to the people of Nineveh was because he had already gotten in a lot of trouble. Let's face it, how many of us would enjoy spending 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale? Not many of us. I've been told I might. Now, this is just what I've been told. I'm not saying this is true or false. I'm neither going to confirm. Never mind. I am built for comfort. Okay? I hate camping. I don't like it. It may have something to do with the fact that I've had terrible experiences in tents. The first time I can actually remember camping was in Japan after we got to Japan. And my dad said, son, we're going to have a father-son camping night. Oh, yippee. So I was excited about it. But we set up a tent in the backyard of this other missionary's house. And it happened to be a typhoon week, which I don't know if you know what a typhoon is, but it's like a hurricane in Japan. And we didn't get the actual center of the storm, but there's a lot of wind and rain. So I sleep like a rock. So I'm like halfway through the night, my dad's like, Preston. And I'm like, what? I'm six. And he says, we're going to have to run home. This is like two blocks away. So I remember like climbing out of that tent and running home with our pillows over our heads so we wouldn't get blown away during the night in this tent. So this was my first memory of a tent. So it went downhill from there. So I'm not a big fan of camping. And so to be totally honest, I don't like tents. I like cabins and I like houses better. You know, so that's just my natural progression. I like houses to sleep in. And so the whole thought of spending 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale really doesn't appeal to me. So I already understand that Jonah, it must have had a terrible time. I mean, he wasn't afraid of dying. We see that. He told the people to throw him overboard in the storm. And we also see later on in the chapter when he sees the people of Nineveh turn to God, he says, just kill me. I don't want to see this. So we know Jonah wasn't afraid of dying. He just didn't want to get in any more trouble with God than he had already gotten into. But the whole reason he went to Nineveh was simply a selfish reason of not wanting to get into more trouble than he'd already gotten into. It was not out of a love for the people. We see that clearly based on his reaction when they turned to God. He didn't care about the people. He wanted them destroyed. So his motivation was purely selfish. Now let's compare him to the Apostle Paul. If you'll turn with me, we're going to turn to three passages fairly quickly. Turn with me to Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at the Apostle Paul's mission, his message, and his motive, and then we'll look at ours. The Apostle Paul's mission is given to us in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 gives the story of how Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul, was on the road to Damascus. He's going to persecute the church, and he was on his way. The Lord appeared to him in a great light, and Saul says, what would thou have me do, Lord? After the Lord talks to him a little bit, and he says, go into the city, it will be told thee what thou shalt do. And in verse 10 of Acts chapter 9, it says, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard of many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. And here in verse 15 we see the mission of the Apostle Paul. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So we see here the Apostle Paul's mission. Jonah's mission was to go and preach to the people of Nineveh. Paul's mission was to go and to bear God's name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. The missions are very similar. These two men's, their jobs that God had given them were both very similar. Now let's look at the Apostle Paul's message, Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul gives his message, which is in Acts chapter 17, verse 22. The Apostle Paul had gone through the city of Athens, and he had seen the statues and the idols that they had built to different gods, and he saw a statue to the unknown God, and Paul's spirit was moved within him, and he wanted to share with them who that true God was. In Acts chapter 17, verse 22, it says, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious, For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing his Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. And he begins to explain to them who God is. And if we drop down to verse 30, he sums up the message. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men and that he hath raised him from the dead. So what we see here is the mission was to go and give God's word, both in Jonah and Paul's lives. But now the messages, Jonah's message was 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown because of their wickedness. Paul's message was that there is coming a day where God is going to judge this world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. So both messages are quite similar. Because of wickedness, there's coming judgment. But when we look at the motivation behind the two men, we saw that Jonah's motivation, the reason he went to the people of Nineveh, was so he wouldn't get in worse trouble. He had no care for the people. But when we look at Paul's motivation, we see an amazing difference. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9, Paul makes one of the most amazing statements, I believe, given by man in the Word of God. Romans chapter 9, verse 1. It's an amazing statement. Paul here says, in Romans chapter 9, verse 1, he says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul here makes an amazing statement. He says, if it were possible, if I could wish myself accursed from Christ so that the people around me could come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's an amazing thing. The Bible tells us, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And that's an amazing love. That is the greatest kind of love there is for us as humans, for us to lay down our life for a friend, as Jesus Christ did it for us. And sometimes we see it in a war situation where a soldier will lay down his life for other soldiers in his unit and in a dangerous situation. The very going of soldiers for us into battle to die for their country is also showing that great love. Sometimes you see it in a family situation if there's a dangerous event where, you know, a family is being threatened, a father or mother could give their life for their children. Sometimes in a house fire, you know, a father or mother would give their life to get their children to safety. And it's the greatest demonstration of love that there is, to give one's life for someone else. And Jesus Christ did that for us. But Paul here says, if it were possible, and I know it's not, but if it were possible, I could wish that I could give up my eternity with Christ. I could wish myself accursed from Christ for the people around me so that they could know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Paul here says, if it were possible, I could do that. I could wish myself accursed. And that's an amazing statement. It shows a great love for the people around him. It shows a great burden to see the people around him come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And, you know, as we look at ourselves, we have to ask ourselves, can we say that? Because Jonah and Paul both had a mission, a message, and a motive. Now we have to ask ourselves, as I said at the beginning of the message, we are missionaries. We are all sent to the people around us. Each and every person needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I trust that each and every person here this morning has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. If you haven't, I urge you to decide to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today. It's the most important decision you can ever make. But for us as Christians, we have a mission, a message, and a motive. And what's that mission? The Bible tells us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So that's our mission. It's very similar to Jonah and Paul's. Their mission was to go and take the Word of God to the people around them. That's what our mission is. It's to go and take the Word of God to the people around us. What is our message? Going to all the world, preach the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. The death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. And you know, the Bible tells us if we offend in one point, we are guilty of all. If we offend in one point, we're guilty. There is no person in this room that is any better than any other person in this room. There is no person in this room that is any better or any worse than any person in the world. The Bible tells us if we offend in one point, we're guilty of all. And the Bible tells us all have sinned. So we're all equally guilty in the sight of God. When I was a little boy, my family went to Japan when I was 9, I said. When I was about 4 years old, I was living in Prior Lake, Minnesota. My pastor in Prior Lake, Minnesota had a jar of gummy worms he kept on his desk. that were for the kids. Whenever a kid would come with their parents to the church or whatever, the pastor would give the kids a gummy worm. Now, being one of the kids in the church, I knew about this stash of loveliness on the pastor's desk, and I knew it was there. Well, so did all the other kids in the church. Well, this one kid comes to me one day. The pastor is out of his office. All the parents are just talking, as parents do after church, and he comes up to me and goes, "Hey, Preston, we could sneak in there and get us a gummy worm." Now, I was 4, but I already knew one was supposed to go in the pastor's office when the pastor wasn't there, and definitely not supposed to take something that's not mine. So I knew this was a bad idea. But I caved. I mean, come on, it's gummy worms. So we headed in there, and we each made off with a gummy worm. And he was much more of a criminal mastermind than I was. He ate his. I held on to mine. Didn't go over well when my parents saw my hand. "Where'd you get the gummy worm?" Didn't think that one through. But, you know, I got in trouble. My parents made me go and apologize to the pastor. I had to. But, you know, what made that? That was wrong. I knew I was not supposed to take the gummy worm. The Bible says in the Ten Commandments, "Thou shalt not steal." And I knew it was wrong. I knew it was stealing. So at that point, as a 4-year-old boy, knowing it was wrong to do and doing it anyway, I had sinned. I had broken God's law. I knew it was wrong. It wasn't a question of, oh, he didn't know and he just went. No, I knew it was wrong. That's why I was so scared when they found me. So I had sinned. And as a 4-year-old boy, I was guilty in the sight of God. God is holy. He cannot allow sin into heaven. As a 4-year-old boy, Preston Smith was guilty standing before God. And so when I was 9 years old, I was in Japan. I knew verses in English and in Japanese. We were learning memory verses, as Pastor was talking about in Sunday school. I was learning memory verses in English. I was learning them in Japanese. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Japanese, goes, "Tsumi kara kuru hoshu wa shi desu. Shikashi, kami no kudasaru tamamono wa watashi tachi no shu Kiristo Yesu ni aru eien no inochi desu." So I was learning these verses in English and in Japanese. But you know what? When I was 9 years old, it hit me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God means Preston has sinned and come short of the glory of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Preston believeth in him, Preston would not perish but have everlasting life. You know, and I hadn't applied those selves to me, but that night, when I was 9 years old, it hit me that if I don't accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm going to go to hell. Not because I've done unspeakable wickedness, but because I've broken God's law. It doesn't matter how much or how little I've done. In God's eyes, he cannot allow sin into heaven, and I've sinned. And so for me to go to heaven, I have to accept the gift of God, and that is his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. He fulfilled the debt. He paid the debt that I could not pay. And now, if I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, I can go to heaven. And it clicked for me when I was 9 years old. And that is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the fact that he died on the cross for us to take away our sins, and that if we accept that gift of eternal life, realize there's nothing we can do of ourselves. We accept that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, and we accept that, we can know that we can spend eternity with God in heaven. And I trust that each and every one of us could, if I asked for a raising of hands, would be able to say, "I know that if I were to die right now," we don't know what's going to happen. We walk out of these doors, we see things happen all around us all the time, car accidents, health issues, whatever the case may be, and someone that thought they were going to see another day didn't because of something that just happened in their lives. And we don't know if we walk out these doors. And so I trust that if I asked for a raising of hands, everyone could say, "Well, if something were to happen to me today, I would know that I would wake up in heaven." And I trust that everyone here could do that. But folks, as Christians, we have a mission, and that is to go. We have a message, and that is to share the gospel. And what is our motivation, though? As we look at these two men that we looked at this morning, Jonah is on this end of the spectrum. He's over here saying, "You know what? I don't care about the people of Nineveh. In fact, I would rather they never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I would rather they were destroyed and they did not turn to God." And then over on this end of the spectrum, you've got Paul that says, "You know what, I would do anything I possibly could to see that people accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they saw the truth of God's Word, and if it were possible, I mean, I would give everything I can, and if it were possible, I could wish myself accursed from Christ for these people." It's an amazing love. So we have this huge spectrum here, and we have to ask ourselves, where do we fall in this line? I mean, I don't think there's anyone here that would say, "You know what, I want the people around me to die and go to hell." I hope there's no one here like that. I wouldn't think any of you were like that. But if you say, "Well, Brother Preston, I'm more over here. I may not. I mean, I know I personally cannot say the same thing Paul did with a clear conscience. I don't think I've gotten to that point where I can just say, you know what? I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience bearing me witness that I could wish myself accursed from Christ for my brethren. I don't think I have a heart for people the way Paul did, that I can stand here with a clear conscience and say, you know what? I love people enough that if it were possible, I could give up my eternity with Christ so that others could come to him. I don't know that I can say that. But most of us would probably say, well, Brother Smith, I don't know where I am in here, but I know I'm more on the Paul side of things than on the Jonah side of things. And that's great. Praise the Lord for that. But if we're saying that's our motivation is more to see people saved than not, then we have to ask ourselves, folks, do we know the saying, actions speak louder than words? Because if our actions don't demonstrate a love for people, then our actions are demonstrating a lack of care for people. And that's more like Jonah than it is like Paul. How often do we try to reach out to people with the gospel? There's so many ways we can do it. Do we try to hand out tracts? Do we try to invite people to church? Do we try to share the gospel with people? Or do we just ignore it and go on our way? You know, there was a young lady that came to the States. She was a young Japanese lady. She came to America for tourism. She came to the States in August of 2010. And she went to Niagara Falls. Beautiful place. Went to Niagara Falls, was taking pictures. If you've ever been to Niagara Falls, there's a lot of Japanese there. And they're always taking pictures. They love taking pictures. And this young lady was there. And she decided for some reason it would be a good idea for her to get up on the railing overlooking the river and to stand on that railing and have her picture taken over the river of Niagara Falls. And so she got up on that railing and she had someone taking her picture and she lost her balance and she fell into that river and she was never seen again. As the news came out the next day, a family came forward and they said, you know what, we saw her standing on that railing and we didn't say anything because we didn't want to offend her. We didn't want to insult her intelligence. We figured she'd get down before it was too late. But now we feel very, very guilty that we didn't say anything. And you know, folks, as Christians, we may not be able to imagine how terrifying it would have been for that young lady falling into that river, because we know that no matter what happens to us, we would be in heaven. But we can probably identify with the guilt felt by that family. Because how often do we as Christians see someone that's standing on the edge of eternity? We know not what a day may bring forth. We see someone standing on the edge of eternity and we don't say anything about how dangerous it is to stand there not knowing for sure that if something were to happen to them, they would spend eternity with Christ in heaven. We see people standing on the edge of eternity. We know the danger of their situation, yet we don't say anything because we figure they've probably heard their need for salvation before. We figure they'll hear it before it's too late. We figure they'll be all right. We don't want to insult their intelligence. We don't want to offend them. We make up any number of reasons why we probably shouldn't tell them about the gospel right then. And yet, folks, when we get, I believe we'll be there for the great white throne judgment. We won't have to endure that, but I believe we'll be there. And we'll see folks that are going into hell because they did not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And folks, as we watch that, are we going to feel the same guilt that that family felt knowing that young lady went into eternity and they didn't say anything? Are we going to feel that same guilt as we stand there and watch people and the Lord says, depart from me, for I never knew you, because we did not share the gospel as we should have? I just want to encourage you this morning, what is our motivation? If we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, are we motivated by a love for the people around us? And are we truly sharing the way the Apostle Paul gave us an example to share because we love the people around us? Just want to encourage you this morning. It's an important thing. We have a responsibility. We have a mission and a message. But what is our motivation today, preacher?